The question today is, what are the qualifications of a pastor? I think the best place to go to answer that is to look in the Bible. And Paul mentions that in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, as he's writing young Timothy, giving them the qualifications of a pastor. Now, in this, it'll take more than one day to deal with this on this radio broadcast, and I pray the Lord will help us to see the qualifications of a pastor. He says this in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, "This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know how to rule his own house, know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil." So Paul gives the qualifications here, but you notice in verse 1, he said, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. The word bishop here is a word which means for pastor. It's a word which the office of the bishop is one word in the Greek, and it means pastor as we know it today. Now, it's not referring to some person who is over many pastors, as they are in certain so-called churches today. They talk about the bishop this and bishop that, and he's over other people. That's not what it amounts to. It's just referring to a pastor. Now, the term elder, pastor, and bishop in the Bible all refer to the same office. Elder means an older, mature person. In the early churches, though, the pastors were chosen from the mature spiritual men of the fellowship. The word bishop means an overseer. It's one who has oversight and provides direction for the local church. And so, therefore, the local pastor then is an elder in terms of spiritual maturity. And a person, in other words, is elder, Paschal. And he's a bishop or overseer in terms of the ministry. He's not a reverend. Some people talk about Reverend so-and-so, but the Bible says in Psalms 111, verse 9, "He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name." God's the only one who's reverend. I'm not a reverend, and I don't like to be referred to as Reverend Paschal. Because that's not a biblical term. You can refer to me as Elder Paschal. That's talking about the person. That's biblical. You can refer to me as Pastor Paschal. That's biblical. And also, you could say Bishop Paschal, but I don't really like that because people want to associate that name with these other groups of people who are in error as far as salvation are concerned, and they're just they're not really pastors. They're over pastors, and that's not a hierarchy. That's not in the local New Testament church. Jesus is the one over us. He's the over shepherd, if you please. He's the supreme shepherd, the great shepherd. And so he's over the pastors, and we're just the under shepherd. And so, but see, he said it's good to have a desire to have a pastor, be a pastor, a bishop. Now, where does that desire come from? Well, it's got to come from God. No man desires that within himself. There's some people in the flesh in some of these so-called movements today want to have that. In some of these foreign countries, they want to be a preacher and a pastor. But folks, I want to tell you, God's got to put you in the office of pastor. He's got to first call you as a God-called preacher, and that's got to come from God. Paul said this about putting in the office that he was in. He, as an apostle, and of course he's not the pastor, but he was an apostle, a missionary out there. But he says, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace." In other words, he knew, God knew from the time he was born what he was going to do with Paul. And he separated him from his mother's womb, and all of his life things worked together in his life for the ministry that God had for Paul. And one day he called him by his grace. And he had a divine call from God to preach the word, carry the word to the Gentiles as far as Paul was concerned. And so therefore that desire has got to come from God. And Paul said this about his call in 1 Corinthians 9:16, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me, if I preach not the gospel." So Paul said his judgment upon me if I don't preach the gospel because God put me in that office. Now, not all preachers are pastors. The Bible says this in the church as far as what he put in the church in Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, let me say, there's really four different classifications there, not five. Pastor teachers goes together. I'll deal more with that later. But apostles and prophets, God called some in the early New Testament church, but they're off the scene now. We've got the Word of God, and we have no more foretelling of the Scripture. We have foretelling, or at least telling what God's done for you, but it's going to agree with the Scripture. There's no more apostles. Paul was the last one, and no other today meet the qualification for being an apostle. And if you want to know that, you can ask me that question. I'll try to deal with that sometime on the radio broadcast. But he also called some evangelists. Now, some preachers are evangelists, some are pastors and teachers. And so, therefore, not all preachers are pastors. But what are the qualifications of a pastor? Well, there's a personal qualification here listed in verse 2 and verse number 3. When he says a bishop or a pastor then must be blameless. I'll just take one at a time. The word blameless does not mean sinless, but without reproach is what it means. The word means one who cannot be laid hold upon, or it means you can find nothing to bring a charge against him. It means his life should be of such character that no one can lay hold upon anything in his life to cast reproach upon the cause of Christ. Now, that's not referring to the old man, the old past man, if you please, but it's talking about the new man. Paul, see, was a murderer, yet the blood covered his sins, and he was blameless and qualified to be a preacher of the gospel. And so it's talking about that, not the old man, but the new man. So all sins are covered by the blood of Jesus when one is saved. No matter what you've done in the past, you can still be blameless because of His precious blood. Now, he also says you're to be the husband of one wife. That's a qualification. Now, it's not talking about polygamy, or that's not what it's referring to, because in those days there's a lot of polygamy, or we call it bigamy in sometimes when you have two. But in those days they had more than two. But that excluded them as well, but that wasn't what he's dealing with. Even as some denominations do now, they have more than one wife at the same time. And this doesn't mean having one wife at a time. Some people say, well, that means just to have one wife at a time is what it's talking about. But this is put here to let us know that a divorced man who has remarried by state law does not qualify for the office of pastor. Did you hear that? In other words, the man who's been divorced and remarried, he's got two living wives, and as a result, he does not qualify for the office of a pastor. Doesn't mean he's not called. The Bible says his gifts and callings without repentance. God's are. But he disqualified himself when he didn't stick to the vow he made to his first wife, till death do us part. And therefore is disqualified to be a pastor of a New Testament church. Now, I know a lot of people are taking them today and saying, well, it's all right, we're living in different times. That's true. We are in different times. We're in the days of Noah, and the Lord's about to come. We know that. But that didn't change God's Word, and God said he's to be the husband of one wife. And in other words, but now that doesn't mean that he has to be married to be a pastor. Because Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 8 and 9. He said, I say therefore to the unmarried and the widows, it's good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it's better to marry than burn. Now Paul, some people try to say Paul was married because you had to be married to be a Pharisee. I find nowhere that's correct, because Paul in Scripture, which is God-breathed, said, I wish that a man would do even as I, remain unmarried. And he goes on to explain how that an unmarried man is doesn't have the deal with the situation or the daily routine of the wife and having the wife, and it pulls him sometimes from the things of God. So Paul said, I'd rather him be that. So when he says a husband of one wife here, he's not saying that that an unmarried man cannot be a pastor, because Paul was an unmarried man, I believe, and he qualified for that position. And in a sense, and therefore, he was. But yet, it means there must be no question as to the pastor's marriage standard. Folks, listen, that we're living in a day when people have bypassed this and marked it out of the book and say it's all right, everybody else is doing it, but it's not all right. It's not God's approval upon it, and there's no power of God going to be in that situation, because there's going to be no God. What's going on is going to be totally just the flesh and not of God. Because God said the qualifications to be the husband of one wife. Must be no question as to his marriage standards. He ought to be vigilant. He said there in verse number 2, that means temperate, referring to sober judgment and action. In other words, it means to show the fruit of the Spirit operating. That's self-control by aid of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, that's part of the ninefold fruit of the Spirit. He ought to be sober here. And this word sober, as it's talking about, means sober in mind. It means to be serious, earnest, curbing one's desires and impulses. It indicates seriousness of purpose. He said he ought to be of good behavior. That's one word in the Greek. It speaks of being orderly as opposed to being disorderly. It suggests a well-ordered life and testimony. And he said he ought to be given to hospitality. In other words, that's one word in the Greek. It means one who's fond of offering hospitality. It means to be fond of guests. Now, this was written in a day in which they lived under great Roman persecution. In fact, Christians were banished from their homes. And he's saying to the pastors, you need to be ready to take them in when they're banished from their homes. Or in the case of traveling preachers ministering from church to church, for they were to be received and cared for by the bishop, by the pastor. Why? Well, in the early centuries, the local church had no building in which to worship, and the church met in the house of an individual. Therefore, the pastor should open his home for that purpose. In other words, it's saying that the pastor should love people, and he ought to be apt to teach, as he talked about here in verse number 2. Apt to teach is one word in the Greek. It means to be skillful in teaching, and that takes study. The Bible said in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly, another word of truth. And it takes not only study, but it takes a gift from God. And God places those gifts in a person when he's born and stirs them later by his call at being a preacher and a pastor. So therefore, you're gifted by God. And that goes with being a pastor, as he said, apt to teach does, because in Ephesians 4:11 we said pastor teacher was what he put in the church. And if you'll notice, the punctuation in the English, it talks about four groups there and not five. It's even more clear because the Greek construction reveals that the word translated teacher is a further description of the word translated pastor. Paul was only referring to an individual when he spoke of pastor teachers. So God's ideal pastor is a teaching pastor, one who specializes in expository sermons, one whose ministry is a teaching ministry. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you, until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name.